Okay, I've hit the record buttons. Joey, my levels are all screwed up. Can you give me a little bit of a test? A little testy test?
To destroy is easy. To create is difficult.
Yep, that's good. Let's see. To be or destroy, create invisible. Fuck it.
Motherfuckers. We are going live to hard drive. We are putting the axe on wax. We are going to be hammering the yammering from the top of our minds to your fucking behinds. Slipping dicks into butts because your mamas are sluts. Sippy doo da damn, bitches. Welcome, 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 like John Oliver. One and Oliver, probably just Ian. Welcome to Just Because.
Hey, I think that sounded pretty good, dude.
How'd that go?
Real good. You were like, you ever have a pancake and the,
Yes.
The butter and the syrup kind of mix together, and it's like either buttery syrup or syrupy butter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were like that, except better. You were like that on a waffle. You were like that on French toast. You know what you can do? Actually, you can take banana bread and French toast it, and if you do that and put some meat in between two slices and then make a croque monsieur. And then you feed that to a guy who's going to make pancakes. He's so fucking happy. He makes the best pancakes you've ever had. And there's only going to be one to the molecule correct ratio of butter to syrup that would do justice to that banana bread, French toast, croque monsieur inspired chef created pancake. Joe, that was you.
No, I'm just kidding, Jason. That was great. Thank you for the compliment.
You're welcome.
It's fantastic. Do you hear that? In the garage studio?
I don't.
That echo?
No.
You know, I don't want any technical difficulties. I was sure because I've got a new cord. I've got everything is just slick as shit. I've got all the levels right as far as I understand. I don't understand a whole lot, but I think I got it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I'm hearing this echo. I kind of like it. Yeah, if I said, hi!
No echo. I think it's because you're wearing two earbuds this time, bud.
Oh, all right. I'm going to take one out. It's fucking with my head.
Well, then how are you going to tell me if I'm breathing too loud?
I just don't want you to be breathing into the microphone. You can breathe.
Okay.
Continue to breathe.
I'll keep breathing.
I want you to breathe, Jason.
I'm going to breathe. Hey, you know what we'll do? We'll just winger it. From now on, I'm not going to say wing it. I'm going to say winger it.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's only 17.
You know, I bet Kip Winger wrote some other songs, but that's the one he'll always be remembered for. And you know what? Joan Jett, she wrote a song where the first line is, saw him standing by the record machine. I knew he must have been only 17. So, like, mm-hmm. Rock.
I'm perf. 38. Throw me in fucking jail.
Exactly. Hey, what's her episode about today, Joe?
I'm doing callbacks because we have a broad topic today.
We do. We can go.
Yeah, it's girls. No, I'm just kidding. Broads, get it?
Yeah. Giggle.
No, it's creativity, right?
That's we're going to talk about creativity.
That basically means that we can talk about whatever the fuck we want all night.
Yeah. I thought we could, like, talk about our processes and our theories, because I got theories on creativity.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought would happen. But you know what I mean? That gives us a lot of freedom.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we
creativity
can...
is freedom. Ooh.
Ooh. No, it's not, actually. It's a...
So, yeah, how did you want... Well, maybe creativity has some... there's some guidelines. Remember, we were talking about like Chuck Jones was very creative, but he did Tom and Jerry, and that's a very contained piece of artwork.
That's right.
It's very creative, but you got to stay in your lane. There's a goddamn mouse, and he wants to hurt the cat. If the cat wants to eat the mouse, you know, they put sticks of dynamite in each other's butt. Wait, maybe that's – is that the right cartoon? Jason, tell us about creativity.
No, I think that's a fine place to – well, I don't know if start, but to mention that, you know, it's all about context, right? You know, a cat and a mouse in Tom and Jerry are fighting, and a cat and a mouse in, I don't know, my pants are – they're probably also fighting. I don't know whether they're fighting over what else is in there with them or they're fighting for their lives, but – it's all about context.
It almost sounded like a euphemism. Euphemisms can be creative. Like
they are. I mean, yeah, they're an attempt to maintain a context, but put in a completely different connotation, which is an interesting little conflict there, a little oxymoron. The idea that if I say her lady parts, I want you to think about her pussy, but I don't want you to think about the crass things that go along with it. So I guess I don't know. So like the context is, you know,
wow, a peek behind the curtain. Does that work? Hey man, let's step all the way out of the show into your real life. Like why were we doing a nine? When I say we're doing a nine, what does that mean, Jason? Tell our listener Ian what that means.
We're doing a nine. So we're recording an hour later because we're doing an experiment at my casa. The studio in which I record is right below the studio where my 2-year-old sleeps, and there has been alleged that my voice keeps him awake. Once he's asleep.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah, it's been alleged.
Oh man.
Yeah.
You know that I tend toward apologies, and that's a weakness of mine.
Just apologize.
Here I go again.
Yeah.
Ready?
On your
I'm sorry. Now here's the thing. That sucks because we've been doing 8 o'clocks on Friday for a long time. I hope we haven't interfered too much with your little boy's sleep.
I certainly don't
want that to be the case.
Right.
Are we going to do nines from now on? That's cool.
Okay, we'll talk about that. But the short version of
but
this –
but not on the podcast?
Well, we can talk about a podcast, yeah. I mean, yes. We could do. I would love to do nines. I'm trying to be more creative in my life, and in order to do that, because I'm of an advanced age, I need to sleep better. So I'm being more disciplined with my sleep. Starting at 9 will probably keep me up later than I should be in order to be creative. However, whenever we do the podcast, we usually end up staying up until midnight anyway. So yeah, if we can start starting at 9, that would improve things immeasurably. Joel.
Now, I think this is perhaps amusingly ironic. This is the least creative topic that we can possibly talk about.
Yeah.
Because now I want to talk to you, Jason, about logistics.
Okay.
I think that our podcast – I was just talking to my wife about this, and this is really excited. This is exciting, Ian. Listen to this. I said – hey, you know what would be really cool is if on Sunday morning we could wake up at 5:30 in the morning and Jason and I would do the podcast at like 5:30 in the fucking morning.
Uh-huh.
I'm not kidding when I say that. Like, I think it's a really good idea.
Okay.
And you know why? Because we did an early morning Sunday morning podcast once, and it's one of my favorite ones ever. So why don't we do it again and again? Why don't we do it on Friday night when it's like Your kid's trying to sleep. We've had a couple of drinks. Okay, so maybe our podcast is funny when because of the time that we choose to do it. But what about 5:30 in the morning on Sunday, Jason?
Hey, you know, I get up at 5 in the morning anyway all the time. So, yeah, if you want to get up at 5:30 on a Sunday morning, I just know that you and I both do this thing where – 8 o'clock rolls around and one of us is texting the other, hey man, I need 10 minutes. Hey man, I need an hour, like I did tonight, right?
Yeah.
I can just see 5:30 waking up, looking at the text, saying, hey man, I need 8 hours. It's like, okay. Tied one on last night.
Hey man, can I get 8 more hours? Like just a, can I get another 12, please? What I'm saying is when we're talking about creativity.
Yeah.
I think there. Do you remember the episode that we did on a Sunday morning? Can you? You don't need to tell me the number, but do you remember that episode?
No.
It was kind of a special episode.
Was it? Was it Spatial? I don't remember.
Yeah. It was an episode about vaginas. It was our seventh episode.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I do remember
we
now.
Just did it. It was right before I went on a vacation, and we decided we wanted to double up because I was going on a vacation.
Okay.
And we did a real early morning episode. I remember sitting in my garage with both of the doors open, and it was barely light outside. And there was something about our demeanor on that show that I thought was fascinating. I think we tapped in. There's something about – all right, how about this? Your creativity is different depending on what time of day, what day it is. You put your antenna up and try to be creative. That antenna catches different stuff at different times of the day.
Yeah. Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And it's that context thing again.
I thought it was really interesting. That show, this is what is our 61st show?
Yep, it is.
Well, we had one show where we did it in the morning, and it's kind of a standout show. Not that it's better than the other shows. It just feels different. And it was a very creative show. I thought it was really funny. Anyway, this is a meta podcast, isn't it?
It is. This is a podcast about itself. So I am more than willing to do a Sunday morning show. We should put that on the to-do list, on the JBC to-do list.
Well, I have a feeling that, if we're going to do a Sunday morning show, it's going to be really early because, you also – it's not about just your son going to sleep, but it's when your son is going to wake up. So we would have to – I don't know. We can talk about it offline.
Yeah, we'll work it out.
You know what? This isn't funny, Jason. Tell me some funny shit.
All right. Let's see. You put me on the spot. Hey, let me ask you some questions about creativity. Did you read that thing I sent you? I texted you a quote. Did you read it?
Oh, man. We are simpatico, Jason.
Bugger, I hate your guts. Okay, yeah? What?
Go ahead. Give it to me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Fuck you, Joey.
All right. Well, I'd like to give it back to you. Right.
Fuck you, Jason.
Right. All right. So we gave that a shot. That's good. It's creative.
Yeah, it's creative.
Yep. Yeah.
You read that quote.
I did. I read the quote, and I realized immediately that it needed to be read out loud the podcast.
Do you want to read it?
I kind of do, but I trust you to do it better. I don't know. I just feel like you do live reads better than me. But I could try.
Why don't you go for it?
How about this?
Why don't you go for it?
Oh, this is good. This is creative. I'm going to bring it up on my little cell phone here, which is a piece of shit.
I'll bring it on my little piece of shit, too.
I'm going to bring it up.
Okay.
And I will try to read it. Now, here's the funny thing. If I fuck up at all, if I have a misstep in my reading at all, hit a fuck you, Joey.
Okay.
Okay. So listen.
No, you know what I'm going to do instead? Reading. I'm not going to hit a fuck you, Joey. I'm going to hit a different button, but I got it prepared, so I hope you fuck up.
And I'll know if I fuck up, by the way.
Yeah.
And so you hit your button, whatever button you want.
Yeah.
And then you just start over from the beginning.
From the beginning?
Yeah.
All right.
Because you know what? This is a really good – this thing reads really well.
Yeah, it's written by a really good writer.
It's just a really cool sounding thing. Yeah. In fact, I was thinking when I read it, I was like, maybe Jason and I – this is right up our alley, which is why you sent it to me, I think. But anyway, people that are listening to the podcast, Ian, are – might not actually. Ian's gonna love it, so let me give it a shot.
Okay, go.
I'm putting it up here on my shitty cell phone.
All right.
When I hit a button on my cell phone, I wait 3 seconds, and then it does what I told it to do.
You know, my wife and I came up with a theory of inebriation, which is it's just the same as being sober, except that when you think, when your brain says let's do something, it takes longer for it to actually happen. So you'd be like, hey, I'm gonna sit down now, and then 3 minutes later, you finally sit down. Or, hey, I'm going to swerve so I don't hit that car. And then, like, you're in the crash car swerving.
Yeah, that's why it's dangerous for people to, you know, be behind the wheel. So but your actually, phone is just drunk. I have a thought about that.
Okay.
Because there's something about having a couple of drinks in you that is good. That is, it sometimes if you have a bunch of anxiety that is, like, pent up, anxiety can hinder your expression too.
Absolutely.
So, like, to have a couple of drinks lifts your inhibitions and relaxes you and allows you to express yourself freely. But then you have 10 drinks and suddenly you're a fucking idiot.
Well, then, I mean, no, it's that you're right. And it's because you had a few drinks in you and your brain says, hey, maybe you shouldn't say that. And then you say it. And then 30 seconds later, you go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Right? It's the delay thing.
Well, there's I mean, look, I mean, drunk people are a problem. They are problems because once you have one, a delay in your speech, well, a delay from your thought to your word, that's a problem. Two, if your speech is slurred, right away you sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
Three, you have no judgment. So your timing when it comes to, like, comedy or, like, being sensitive to other people's feelings, like, that's all out the window.
Yeah.
If you're drunk enough, your judgment is off and you're not representing yourself well. So that is my treatise on.
All right. Well done, Taco Bell manager.
Have...
Yeah.
Say again.
I said, well done, Taco Bell manager.
What did you just say, Jason?
I said, well done, Taco Bell manager.
It's funny because I was talking to Ryan and he was like, you know what? You guys are really good at not talking over each other. Seriously, Ryan was like, that takes a little practice, right? Like, because you guys rarely talk over each other. And we were just talking about that today. And
there
here
go.
We are because you and I just talk over each other. I'm going to read this thing.
Okay.
All right. So actually, can you set it up for our one person audience?
Yeah. So this is a quote.
What is this? What book is this from? Tell me about it.
This is from a book called Sorcery, and it's written by a very beloved writer named Terry Pratchett, who has passed away, unfortunately. He wrote a series of novels called the Discworld series. He wrote other things as well. He's much loved. His books are very readable.
You told me about that.
Yeah, his books are
this podcast.
His books are so they're so readable, even if you're not into fantasy. He's just such a good. He's so smart, you know. And this quote that Joe's going to start reading is about creativity and about inspiration. Hit it.
It is a well-known established fact throughout the many-dimensional world of the multiverse that most really great discoveries are owed to one brief moment of inspiration. There's a lot of spade work first, of course, but what clinches the whole thing is the sight of, say, a falling apple or a boiling kettle or the water slippering.
Silence.
Okay.
Or I will place an energy band over your mouth.
Or the water slipping over the edge of the
bath.
Okay,
start over.
I'm not going to start over. It's going to take forever because we're both going to fuck up constantly. All right, I'll start over. It is a well-known,
right.
Established fact throughout the many-dimensional worlds of the multiverse that most really great discoveries are owed to one brief moment of inspiration. There's a lot of spade work first, of course, but what clinches the whole thing is the sight of, say, a falling apple, or a boiling kettle, or the water slipping over the edge of the bathtub. Something goes click inside the observer's head, and then everything falls into place. The shape of DNA, it is popularly said, owes its discovery to the chance sight of a spiral staircase when the scientist's mind was just at the right receptive temperature. Had he used the elevator, the whole science of genetics might have been a good deal different. Do you want to take it from here, Joe? I feel like we're in, like, fourth grade. Like, yeah,
this is
turn.
Thought of as somehow wonderful. It isn't. It is tragic. Little particles of inspiration sleep through the universe all the time, traveling through the densest matter in the same way that a neutrino passes through a candy floss haystack. And most of them miss. Even worse, most of the ones that hit the exact cerebral target hit the wrong one. For example, the weird dream about a lead donut on a mile-high gantry, which in the right mind would have been catalyst for the invention of repressed gravitational electricity. Oh, God damn it.
Silence.
Hit it, Jason. Or I will
place for example, the weird dream about a lead donut on a mile-high gantry, which in the right mind would have been the catalyst for the invention of repressed gravitational electricity generation, a cheap and inexhaustible and totally non-polluting form of power which the world in question had been seeking for centuries, and for the lack of which it was plunged into a terrible and pointless war, was in fact had by a small and bewildered duck. By another stroke of bad luck, the sight of a herd of wild horses galloping through a field of wild hyacinths would have led a struggling composer to write the famous Flying God Suite, bringing succor and balm to the souls of millions had he not been at home in bed with shingles. The inspiration thereby fell to a nearby frog, who was not much... Okay, now I fucked up.
Silence, or I will place an energy band over your mouth.
The inspiration thereby fell to a nearby frog, who was not in much of a position to make a startling
contribution
to the field of tone poetry. Many kibble that come. Okay.
Silence, or I will place an energy band over your mouth.
Many civilizations have recognized this shocking waste and tried various methods to prevent it, most of them involving enjoyable but illegal attempts to tune the mind into the right wavelength by use of exotic herbage or yeast products. It never works properly.
So yeah,
if we made it to the end, was a goddamn mess.
That was this is quality podcasting right here, yo. I always remember that when I think about the subject of creativity, the idea that inspiration comes. I mean, that's his fictional take of it is there's little, cosmic particles that fly through the universe and they hit a head and that's the moment of the aha moment. When really what he's
and
talking
that's
about.
That's inspiration and that it's completely random.
Right. Completely random.
And that it's almost like the butterfly effect where, like, if that happened, it might have saved the entire planet.
Right, right.
Like,
I mean,
it might have – one invention might have completely taken us on a trajectory different than the one that we're on.
Right.
One of them might have been disastrous. The other one enlightening.
Right. And he's suggesting that all of the great moments were actually because of this. When he mentioned the falling apple, he's talking about Newton. The boiling kettle, he's talking about Fulton or whoever invented steam. And the water over the edge of the bed, over the edge of the bath, that's Archimedes, right? So, so in the real world, there aren't, I don't think anybody would say there's actual particles flying through the universe, hitting heads and making you go, oh, I think I'll invent cheese today. But I do agree that there are these random things where you are in a particular state of mind, a particular context, and you see something that does not go in that context, and your brain says, hey, let's make it fucking work. And then, you know, a lot of times what happens is you think, I really would like to have sex right now. But sometimes what you think is, hey, I just figured out cold fusion or whatever. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Now, Joe, I want you to be able to say things too, so stop me if I go on too long, but have I ever told you about my theory of how creativity actually starts? I mean, I just kind of alluded to it, but did I ever?
Well, I think we have talked about it before. Let me couch this a little bit and say that the fact that you gave me this thing to read and then I automatically wanted one of us to read it, and then perhaps because we're a comedy podcast, neither of us could do it all the way through, and we tag-teamed it and maybe destroyed it.
Probably.
The fact is, it's a really interesting little piece. Like, it's a really interesting piece. And I feel like you presented that to me for a reason, because I feel like there's a part of this that you really believe. Like, when it comes to the process of creativity – perhaps the randomness of creativity, and that touches a deep like my soul sings to that because I feel like creativity isn't mine at all. Remember when I said like the antenna goes up?
Yes.
Like, I really believe that. Like,
well, that's kind of like the particle thing he's talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not me necessarily. It's you being open to and setting yourself up almost like creating a scaffolding, like a creative scaffolding or a filter that if you put the antenna up, the creativity will then channel through you. It's not that you're creative, it's that you're a conduit.
Okay. All right. That's a very Jungian approach.
Too mystical?
No, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, it's way too mystical. No, it's not too mystical. I mean, I think that, like a lot of very personal...
Hey, dick in the butt. Fart. Hey.
Okay. I don't know where that came from. But
I'm sorry. I was just, like, it seemed like we were getting really serious there.
Okay, so well, let me throw in dicks and farts and butts. And yeah, go ahead. It's all fine. At the risk of repeating myself from previous episodes where I talked about where creativity come from, the reason I like this inspiration particle quote is because it alludes to, whether he meant it to or not, alludes to this idea from evolution that the thing that mutates genes so that, you know, new things happen, and if they survive, they get passed on to the next generation. Some people say that that's because actual, honest to goodness, cosmic rays come flying down through the planet, hit a being's genes and mutate it. I mean, they say, how else would it mutate? That's how, cosmic rays. Now, I don't know if that is a
respected theory. Right, an explanation for mutation itself. Like, I get it.
Yeah,
I understand that. And doesn't that – I see how that plays forward into, like, anything that is created, any even part of your consciousness that moves forward to even make a decision.
Yeah, it is literally random mutation. And so, again, at the risk of repeating myself, here's how I think creativity works. It basically is you've got an idea in your head, or you're in a particular place or particular context, right? You've got your antenna up, your filters out, whatever. And then you have an experience that is not, whether you hear something, see something, smell something, maybe even have a memory, but for some reason, there is a it's not completely communicated. Somebody says, give me that hammer, but because you're thinking about something else, or because you can't hear very well, or because it's loud, you hear them say, give me a Bama. And your brain is desperate to put meaning on that. And so it says, give me a Bama. Is that like, I don't know, it just, you know, I'm making this up right now as I'm talking to you, Joe, but it sounds like, give me a Bama. Maybe that's the way they do cheerleading in Alabama. They don't spell the whole word. They say, give me an A, give me an L, give me an A, give me a Bama, right? And so, I mean, that's not a very good example. My point, though, is that then you take that thing and then you start building on it with stuff that you do have, right? You start building on top of that. It's like, oh, I'm going to write a sketch about people in Alabama who can't even spell their own state, right? Or I'm going to write a book, or I'm going to write a song, or I'm going to go to the next poetry slam and tell people that people from Alabama are actually very nice and you should be more respectful of them, you know? Whatever it is that you decide to do with it, the point is that I'm trying to get at, Joe, the point is that it was a random accident that sparked that creative moment. And that's my theory of creativity. I believe that absolutely every creative act started, if you could trace it back, you would trace it back to an accident in communication. That's my theory.
Okay. So I think that's fascinating. And I agree, actually, kind of fundamentally. I agree. But I do think that we are complex beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of happenings,
okay,
more
yeah.
than beings. We occur, like you are occurring, and so am I.
Okay, yeah.
We're occurring. And by that occurrence, things flow through us as a creation. That's kind of how we see it. It's how we it's how we experience it as some sort of expression or, you know, statement or piece of artwork or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that that's really meaningful. Like, in fact, that's about as spiritual as I get. I think that who I am is an occurrence of the universe.
Okay.
Including my perhaps illusionary free will.
Okay.
That is an occurrence to me. And if it's illusionary, is that a real word?
It is now. Motherfucker.
I like it. I just think it's functional.
I think illusionary is a word. I'm going to look it up while you're talking. I think it's a real word.
I think it is. But what I'm saying is, whether there is free will or not, or whether creativity is just you kind of being a prism for some light that beams through you, and then all of a sudden there are colors that shine out the other side, it's still just as meaningful. You are this occurrence. Even your free will, if that is a thing, that's your piece of the universe, and it's amazing to witness.
So for
you, I think if you're a creative being, or if you want to, if in your free will, whether illusory or not.
Right, now you lost it. Illusionary was great. Illusory was awesome. Illusionary.
No, illusory.
Illusionary.
That's a real word.
Illusory? I think that's a place.
Look that one up. Google that one, bitch.
I think that's where nerds go to hang out. Hey, I'm going to the illusory. What are you doing?
All right. Here, let me finish my sentence.
Yeah, please do.
Now, okay. So even if your free will, is real or just something of an illusion, it still is something that you can play with. It is what you are, whether it's fate or whether it's something that you're manipulating with your consciousness. It's fun. It's who you are. It is the snowflake. Everyone is unique, and okay. Now I've lost my shit, but I God damn it, I was on to something.
No, I think I know what you're talking about. Here,
let me finish my thought.
I'm not gonna necessarily finish your thought, but it seems to me that your approach to creativity is, I mean, with that in mind, with what you said, perhaps fundamentally opposite to mine. Which is not to say that they're not compatible or simpatico. But. Everything
you
said.
Can you hit me a fuck you, Jason, real quick?
Yeah, I can hit you with a yeah.
Fuck you, Jason.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Suck a dick.
All right. So anyway, we.
All right. Continue. I'm sorry.
Nothing that you said is, I disagree with, but it feels like that for you, the act of creativity and creation and being creative and. All of the other words we'll throw in that kind of get up to the same concept for you is an aspect of universal being. It's you use the word spiritual. It's about oneness. It's about connection. It's about wholeness. All that good stuff, right? I mean, I'm being a little bit glib and I'm glossing over, but essentially,
I don't know. You're actually just explaining how I feel, and now you're going to go completely against it, or no, in some way against it. And I want to hear.
I'm not saying that anything that you're saying is wrong or that I disagree with, because I can very much see how that is true, in as much as we're all made up of the same stuff. And if my purview is that anything that we do is as the result of a random accident, we all come from the same spot, so any one of us could have been somebody else's random accident. Anyway,
well, it's that, Jason, even if this is all completely random and we're just witnessing it, and the fact that we're making some sort of choice is just bullshit, it's still kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, when I say random, let me be very clear. I don't mean that, you know, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony is a random collection of noises that got together that we happen to like. What I mean is that Beethoven randomly heard his maid fart and he's like, I can do something with that. So it's an incredibly willful act. It's almost the exact opposite of random, because he's like, no, I'm going to take that that butt trumpet, and I'm going to turn it into something special because I like it, right? So the inspiration was random, but the output was the opposite of random. It was pure
Okay, here, can I kind of please. Like rephrase this to see if I can understand what your assertion is? It's that you do believe in free will. You just feel that the inspiration can – that actually makes a lot of sense to me. That let's say, Jason, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but sure. If let's say Jason thinks that free will is a real thing, but in order for free will to operate creatively, there needs to be this constant environmental, like random environmental input, and then it triggers this free will to create.
On the level of being creative, and if somebody wanted to say that, well, everything one does is in some way a creative act. Every word you say, you're creating meaning by stringing words together in a certain sense, blah, blah, blah. Then yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say and it's a perceived random, right? Because definitely someone can walk by me and purposely say something that I think I mishear just to inspire me to – I mean, I don't know. Maybe Beethoven's Maid was like, you know, he's in a slump. He really needs to get out of this. I'm going to go eat me a can of pork and beans. I'm going to fart, see if something happens. And boom, this symphony.
Jason, I like that you're trying to kind of infuse fart into this conversation, because this really is probably the most serious conversation we've had on this podcast
absolutely.
In maybe a year or something. Yeah. But actually, I need to ask you this question.
Okay.
Because when I hear – So I just finished your – well, I've read two of your novels and I just finished the second one.
Okay.
And I like the second one even better than the first one. Well, like I thought it was a creative – like it was just an outpouring of creativity. I was really fucking impressed.
Thank you.
Now here I am, and because you're my cousin and because we have a podcast, I can – interview you about it.
And
here we are, and this is the Creativity Podcast. How the hell, okay, what is your process? Because like we do this podcast every week, and I hear you do things that make me laugh and and that like boggle my mind, and I don't and I think we can safely say that like the way that your brain works is kind of markedly different than mine. It's different.
Yeah.
Like the way that things come flowing out of your brain, and I'm fascinated by that. How do you do that? What is your process?
All right, I'll talk about my process if you promise to talk about yours. Also, I want to point out that
I'll try, but I'm not even fascinated by my process.
Well, maybe other people
want to know about yours.
Maybe Ian is. Who knows? And also, we're at minute 38, so we've
here's a button. Ready?
Yeah.
Fuck Ian.
Okay, record that.
I'm sorry, Ian. We love you. Anyway,
we do.
But I'm not kidding. Can you please answer my question?
In the interest of time,
do you
I'll
even
try to
understand
boil it down.
Your process?
I think I do. I mean, I can tell you what. What I'll attempt if there's something that's going to happen. I mean, we've talked about comedy in the past. I talk about comedy all the time. And I've talked about my definition of comedy and it being based utterly in irony. And you talk about putting your
antenna
up.
Yeah, and I feel like that's simplistic, especially given the things that I hear and read from you.
Well, let me.
That seems utterly way too fucking simplistic given what you – come up with, man.
Well, I wouldn't say
give me a better goddamn explanation.
I was on my way there, but I appreciate your eagerness.
Sorry, now I'm getting okay. mad though. Fuck you, Jason.
Yeah, fuck me, Jason.
Fuck you, Jason.
Suck a dick.
Anyway, we it's too much fun.
Damn, you're getting good at those buttons. They're anyway, right really, answer the question.
So I talked about comedy is based in irony, and you talked about raising your antenna or getting your filter ready so that things can come in. And I think that if you open yourself up to irony, if you're always like kind of hyper aware of how can I put an ironic context around that, whatever that is, whether you're looking at a tree or you're looking at, you know, an album with Beethoven on the front, and there's a little picture of a maid in the back corner, and she's got a cheeky smile on your face. You know, just being open to that.
I'm following you.
Yeah,
that wasn't funny, but I get it.
Gotcha. Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
So I think so. My process begins, and I don't think I'm the only one who's like this. Process begins with being open to irony, and irony is something that, in my theory, is that we pick up on at a very, very, very early age. Like, the other day, my 2-year-old and I were reading a book, and I said, is that, I can't remember what it was. I said, is that a banana? It was a picture book. And he said, yes. And then he pointed at a motorcycle and he said, is that a banana? And I said, yes. And he just burst out laughing. Now, between you
that
and me.
That is irony. That's primordial fucking humor. That's primordial.
So I think it's part of our very being. And what I mean to say is I think everybody has access to this. So my process begins with being open to irony. And then if I need to, I take this idea of randomness. And if I'm thinking I want to come up with something, I should start mashing shit together. Does it supposed to go together? And see if there's something either ironic in that or if there is some sort of like some overlap where they're actually the same. You know, if I'm comparing, well, I mean, just now with the whole the maid farts and Beethoven's fifth, I mean, now you may be thinking, oh, wait, yeah, I can hear a fart doing that, you know, so there's an overlap. And so that's where it all begins. And then I think the skill, if I have that, is to having done
the skill
that
of what of then, creativity itself or
the skill
or,
of actually taking
or humor
that,
specifically.
No, the skill of taking that and doing something with it is that's a little bit harder to pin down in terms of a process. But I think for me, what it is you give into that, no judgment, no reservation, whatever you came up
and you
with,
just let it go.
You just like just go. And now you're starting to bring
to
in your experiences.
And
you're listening to
and
your predilections.
It when I say record it, like write it down.
Yeah. Yeah. And
say
then you just
and have it. That's why I said yaks on wax.
Exactly. That was hilarious. I'm almost done writing a book now. And this is a book that
another book?
We'll go into this, but my point is this is one I had put down like literally 7 years ago. I was like, I'm not ever going to finish this. And then recently said, yeah, I'm going to finish it. And I had a certain word goal I was shooting for. And because I just gave in to this process, just let it go, man, see where it goes. I'm way over that.
Well, you had your antenna up. I'm sorry to say it, but like.
No, the antenna was already up for that's how it got started. Now I'm finishing it and I'm just letting it happen. And that's what I would say to people. If you want to make stuff, just make stuff and don't judge it. Don't worry about it. Just be in the moment of making stuff. And then you can go back and you can check your spelling and you can rearrange some words and take out the stupid parts. And I mean, and that's when you start sharing it with people. That's when the judgment comes in. But when you're in the moment, just succumb to it, you know, and that's not something that I necessarily can do all the time. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not like any day I can just wake up and say, I think I'll be brilliant.
Really? You don't think you can do that?
I think.
Are there certain times that you can really just hit that and get into it? Only certain times? I mean, you have a lot of responsibilities. It's not like you can be creative all the time. Maybe ideas come into your head when you're changing your kid's diaper. Well, maybe I need to let that go because your kids, your kid's probably like 2 or 3 years old. He's still got diapers, right? Diapers. God damn. I'm doing a terrible job, but hey, what I'm trying to say is, Jason.
Yeah.
Thank you for answering the question. And yet I still feel like your mind is a mystery. And I feel like how I work.
Yes.
Actually, go ahead. Finish your thought. I feel like I interrupted you.
No. I don't. I was starting to repeat myself and get dumb. Let's move on to how does Joe. And we're at minute 45. If this episode goes a little bit long because we're going to do some ads and stuff. You know what? Whatever. It's more bang for your
clearly
buck.
We needed to talk about this.
I guess so,
it's weird because. Well, let me go meta a little bit.
Yeah, please do.
I was like, okay, so what's the topic, you know? Sometimes we just need to choose a topic, and some of those topics are repeated because we love them, like, you know, like horror and video games. Actually, we've only done one, just one of my favorite shows, but music. I can't wait for the next meta podcast. One of my favorite podcasts, I have to just say this for our listener. If you're going to listen to JBC, there is an hour and a half podcast that is the meta podcast. And it was like one of the funniest things. And this actually plays into like what is creativity, because there's no way I could have planned. Like, we brought stuff to that episode, but like, man, that episode was just a spit. It was like a fucking tornado of crazy, like, improvisation and just funny shit. When I listen to it, I'm like, how did we even do that? And this is what I'm saying. I have a hard time attributing my creative accomplishments. Like, I don't even want to call it that. It's not even an accomplishment. It's me just being open and like ready to be this prism where a light goes through the back of me and then a creation comes out of the other side, like a pattern of colors comes out the other side. I have a will about it. That is, like, I am directing it. But the fact that I direct anything seems to be an illusion. I seem to be an event. My own free will seems to be an event that I'm just witnessing.
Okay.
And when I'm at my most creative, and this is my process. So let's say, Jason, I'm going to give you, my father said this. He goes, hey, so I was listening to your eighth episode. I really like the story that you told about how you shat your pants. and then you presented a song. And I understand that you didn't write the song, but you rewrote the lyrics. And it was really, really funny. He was like, and I think that this is a tough thing to hear from your father. He goes, I think that fat cock is one of the most important things that you've ever done. And I said, Dad, have you heard any of the other songs that I've tried to rewrite lyrics to? And think about this. Think about the level of that. It's like, that's not my dad saying, you're a good musician. That's my dad saying, you rewrote the lyrics to that song and you talked about how you had a fat cock very well, but you've never done it as well afterwards. He said, I'm worried that you might be a one-hit wonder.
Oh, geez.
So, and okay, I'm getting off track here. The fact is, and this should really tell you, my process isn't important necessarily. I'm just saying, when I want to, like, let's say I want to write comedy, or like I want to write a book, or like I want to write a song, because there was a time when I wrote songs, right?
Yeah.
Not fat cock, but like a song from scratch.
Yes.
You know, Tracy Chapman wrote that song and then I fucked it up. I degraded that song. But
my favorite song.
What I do, and how inspiring is this, Jason? My process is I need to sit down at a computer and like start typing. Or I need to start listening. It's me putting the antenna up.
Yeah.
Like, I need to sit down. Like, I might get inspired when I'm like driving or like taking a shower and like I'll make myself laugh or something. But that's not when the real shit comes through. Like, I need to sit down at a computer or at a like old school. I do this old school at a pad and start writing, handwriting shit. There's something about that that focuses. Things start coming in. Like things start coming in when you're like when you contain yourself to that creative process, things start coming at you. And I actually think I've thought that maybe that's kind of how you work in a way. Like once you you're like, guess what? I'm gonna do this now. I'm gonna focus. I'm looking down at this page or like I'm looking at the screen, and I have a feeling that your brain. And it is a brain thing, by the way. Your brain is an instrument. And all of a sudden, all this shit just comes flooding through. And you have to guide it. You have to filter it. You have to, you know, massage it, put it down, take it away, edit it. Though sometimes I feel like what you do is it just vomits upon the page. Like it just comes through. Maybe you need to fine tune it a little bit, but I feel like your creative process is genius.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you. I think we may be talking about this, like, and we're actually talking about the same thing. In as much as I talked about in terms of my creative process, the inspiration, where it comes from, how it gets started, boom. And then it just goes, and you started, and you're talking in better detail than I did about the going part, right? Because you're right. I mean, I sit down, and when I start writing, I'm almost as much an audience member as anybody who's going to read it later. So I want to see what's going to happen. Now, I have a direction that I want to aim at. You know, if I'm working on a chapter, it's like, okay, but in this chapter, that guy needs to be dead. I don't care how he dies. He just needs to be dead. Well, then, you know, that's the direction, right? Although, I'll tell you the truth, there have been plenty of times when I'm like halfway through the chapter going, yeah, maybe he doesn't need to be dead. It might be better if he wasn't, you know. So, you're just
Jason,
you're just experiencing it as it happens.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but
no,
like,
that's okay.
What I really like about your work is that it becomes this, it's not just irony. This is what I want to say. Humor. You have convinced me that yes, the kind of like shock of humor is irony, which is great. But the way that you do things is musical. It's not just irony. It's the way the words flow through, and there's a lot of them, and like it's a musical process.
Well, I do think that when people are being truly creative, when they subsume themselves to the process, that all of their experiences and their predilections and their fears, anything that defines them, come into play. And I am as everyone who listens to this podcast knows, I am a huge fan of music. And so to me, any kind of creative effort will be in my mind akin to making music, and if you're saying it comes across that way, that's wonderful. But I don't want to be dissonant in whatever I come up with. And speaking of dissonance and speaking of creativity, we haven't gotten to the portion of the show where we created shit yet. We have 7 minutes.
Can you give me a minute, like a time stamp? Where the fuck are we? We've been talking about this for a long time.
We're at minute 54.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And we've done nothing funny at all?
Well, I mean, you said dick once and I mentioned a fart, so I think we're okay.
All right. Well, Jen came in just for a moment. I would like for her to say hi and then we can move on. Jen, Jen, say hi.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, Jen, how are you?
Fuck you, Jason.
I'm good. How are
you? All I did was ask. Why do you got to be like that?
Fuck you, Jason.
Okay, you know what, Jen? If that's the way you feel, I'm not going to...
Fuck you, Jason.
Sorry, you're right. Okay. Okay.
I meant it. I really meant it. Came from the heart.
Hey, man, it only took us 5 takes.
It was 3.
Yeah, it's
it
perfect.
Came kind of naturally.
No, the first one was like, fuck you, Jason.
I'm gonna
it
love
wasn't
that
good
one.
Enough. I was like, let's do it again, and with feeling.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make that.
Think about Jason. Think about how you hate him. And now hit it.
I'm going to make that the right? tone when my phone gets a message. When it's like, fuck you, Jason. Oh, look, my wife's texting me. Okay, yeah.
Mom?
Yeah.
Anyway, Jen, like, this is one of these episodes where, like, suddenly it is completely there's been nothing funny. It's all, like, it's all been, like, pontificating, like, trying to understand the topic that we chose.
Are you laughing, and, Joe, because you use the word pontificate, which is something that is – we'll never achieve that level of – we'll never achieve that level of sophisticated – to pontificate. We don't pontificate. We bullshit.
Well, every time we walk in here, it sounds like an NPR show happening tonight.
This has been a very NPR show. Give me a fuck you, Joey.
We're
there.
Talking about
fuck it. You, Joey.
Thanks. That, you know, just livens it up a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
All right. I just wanted Jen to say hi. She came in to get a drink. And all right. Thanks, all right. Jen.
Bye, Jason.
Bye. Thanks, Jen. Jen the amazing. Jen, everybody. There she goes.
All right, so, man.
Do you want
to? You know what really bums me out is
what's that?
I would like to keep having this conversation because I feel like I'm learning something here. Yeah. Fuck it.
But okay, so here's
Jason. What do you have to say? I know that I cut you off because Jen came in and I was like, all right, hey, say hi, Jen.
I don't remember what I was talking about. I was talking about
really
being musical.
Curious, yeah. And I still am. And maybe this is a good thing. I'm just really curious about how when you create something, the words come like flying at you. And I envy that in a way. Like there's a way and you are always telling me like, hey, comedy is irony, irony, irony. And you're right. I always think about that. Like that's the harsh left turn. That's the surprise is yeah. irony, right?
Yeah.
And I get that, and I think I'm okay at that. But what I think you're missing is that when I hear your work, it's not just irony. It's musical. It's rhythmic. It's and that's not just irony, dude.
Like no. It's
what makes your work funny isn't just irony. It's how the words come flowing and the rapidity.
Well, that is at that the risk of
is that a fucking is that a real word?
It is now. I'm not
how many
trying,
times do you have to do that?
I don't know
with me.
I like
anyway.
Doing that.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, like, yes. I do.
I feel like you've oversimplified. Well, when you tell me here, this is what comedy is, and I take that seriously. Like you're one of the funniest people I've ever met, and I'm like. Oh, I take that very seriously. And then I start wondering like how I might be effective
yeah.
as a comedian. And I'm like, no, he's right. Like this is the irony is where it hits. Like that's the punchline is the irony. And I think about that. But then I think about what you do and what I do. And there's a musical piece to it. Like yeah. The way that it flows, the way that it catches your ear, and that makes the irony. It enhances the irony.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to sound pedantic, but when I say comedy is based in irony, I just mean based in. That's like the root. That's the kernel. The humor that you then create around that kernel is not going to be the same as mine. It's not going to be the same as. That guy over there, or that gal, or that dog, or that you know, the composer's mate. I mean,
Jason. But what I'm trying to present to you is that the reason why you're good at this isn't just because you're good at irony; it's because you're good at rhythm and meter.
Oh, sure.
And
so
and alliteration, specifically you alliteration
and yeah, you're I'm not saying
that
you're wrong, Joe.
A lot.
I'll interrupt you this time.
Go ahead. Now we're talking over each other. Go ahead.
I don't think that a person is necessarily good at irony or not good at irony per se. I mean, I think virtually everyone has a sense of humor, and virtually everyone, you tell them a joke, they'll recognize that it is a joke, for the most part. And there's exceptions, but for the most part, people get it. I think where the skill comes in, the craft or the talent, if you want, I don't much like that word, but whatever, it comes in the other part, the building part. And
you don't like the word talent?
Well, we again, different episode because we're already past our hour here. But
yeah, I get it. Go ahead, Jason.
But if a person is struggling with like, okay, I've got all this stuff, I'm doing so much work, but it's not funny. Why is this not funny? I would say because it doesn't have any irony. Dude, everything you've written is actually masterful. But if you could bring it from an ironic point. You haven't done that. You're just depending on
Jason. I see what you're saying. It's almost like okay, if you were to look at somebody's work and it just isn't funny, you would be like, well, where's the irony? Right.
Right.
And it's almost like this. If you're making an omelet, then certainly you must grease the pan. That's one thing. You got to do it.
Yeah.
Whether it's butter or whatever the fuck, bacon grease, I don't care. You got to do that. You have to do that or the omelet will be ruined.
Yes.
It will be ruined.
Yes.
It's a key thing that you have to do. You also must have eggs.
Right.
You have to have eggs.
You got
to
have eggs.
Right? And so what you're saying is comedy is contingent or it absolutely must have irony.
It doesn't even need to be that the person who's being funny knows that or purposely sought it out.
They don't need to. It doesn't need to be a conscious process. It just needs to happen.
But if you ever see something and you laugh and go, "Why did I laugh at that?" It's because there's something ironic going on. And why did you continue to laugh? Because they put a heck of a lot of work into it. Here's an example of what I'm just a dumb example, but in the interest of time. Just take something serious.
Are we in an hour already?
Oh, yeah, we're past. Take something serious. Abraham Lincoln. There's nothing funny about Abraham Lincoln, right? There's nothing wrong.
I disagree.
Well, okay. My point is, though, just go up to somebody and say, I was reading a book about Abraham Lincoln. They're not going to say, oh, did you laugh your tits off? No, they're not going to say that. But then somebody said, I'm going to throw some irony in there. Abraham Lincoln, vampire slayer. Okay. And there is a movie. And somebody had, yeah. Somebody had this idea.
It was funny for that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
When the first time you heard that was it.
And yeah, I never saw the movie, so I don't know.
Lost all value. Anyway.
But my point is, is that you just, you know, I think that the thing that holds most people back from being creative, the thing that holds most people back from being funny, isn't even all this stuff that I'm talking about in terms of a good process or recognizing irony or being open. It's basically just fear. And fear is, in a sense, and I'm going to go real deep on you here, Joe. Fear is the most unironic thing that there is. Fear is the most unironic thing. It is your amygdala or whatever that part of your brain is on overdrive going, holy shit, we're going to die. And there's nothing ironic about that. And it's not funny. It's just, it's very sad. And so I think that, honestly, if you want to be funny, don't be afraid of it. And I know that's easy to say because, you know, you can't just walk up to somebody and say, hey, don't be afraid. And like, oh, thanks for saying that. I'm not afraid anymore. But if you can find a way to be brave enough that you realize, oh, there's nothing to be afraid of, then you don't even have to be brave after that. And you can be funny. You can be creative. And if it turns out everybody thinks what you wrote sucks, fuck them. You didn't do it for them. You did it to be in the moment. And that's the whole point.
Jason, I am there, and I have that courage, I think, but not as much as you, man. Like,
well, I'm older than you are, so by the time you're my age, Joe. Yeah,
that's true. It's, I think, especially comedically, you're a little bit more accomplished than I am, but I would say that that advice, just saying that out loud to be like, hey, man, like, if you want to be funny, stop being afraid. Like, do it. Like, relax into it. Just try to be funny.
At the risk of...
If you want to be funny, it's fun. So fucking chill. Yeah. Just get into it. And I think I'm able to do that, but like it, the level that you're at is impressive. Well, I really like it. And hey, so what we're going to do is this.
Okay.
We've just spent an entire hour not being funny at all, just talking about the kind of mechanism of creativity.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Like, we did a whole hour. Not funny at all, but I kind of like that we did this.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. That was a really interesting conversation. Now I'd like to say a couple words. Dick, fart, your mom's ass. That's one word, by the way. Your mom's ass. That's one word. Now, can't we just put some bells and whistles at the end of this goddamn show?
Sure.
It's going to be like an hour and a half now. There's no way around it.
Yep.
This is going to be an hour and a half show. We've only done that a few times. Yeah. But, and by the way, all of a sudden, Ryan just sat down next to me. I'd just like for him to say hi.
Hey, Jason. How you
doing? Hey, Ryan. You sexy Ryan. You.
Now, would you like him to stay? Because I'm ready to just kick his ass out of the studio.
Hey, you know, I like me some Ryan. I was just saying to the president of the Ryan Appreciation Club the other day. I was like, I like Ryan. He's like, well, yeah, otherwise you wouldn't be in the club, asshole. And then he punched me in the face really hard. But he wasn't Ryan, so I punched him back. Because if Ryan ever punches me, I won't punch him back. Anyway, Ryan could stay.
This is what I anticipate, right? We're about to have Larko.
Yep.
Do you have a Larko?
I do.
Okay. I would like, Ryan, would you like to hang out and listen to the Larko live? Or do you want to go back to the party? It's up to you, man.
I don't know what that means. What does Larko mean?
You'll know what it means if you stick around for another, like, 5 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm down for surprises. So it's a Friday night, Jason. Sorry. I can't wait to listen to this show.
Awesome.
It sounds like it was very intense.
It was so intense, yeah.
It's a different show. But let's get back
tonight,
to comedy.
Tonight, on a very special JBC, yeah.
You know what? Fuck comedy. Let's pay for the podcast.
Sure.
Let's just make sure that we can keep doing it.
Yeah.
And Larko, which is a fucking huge behemoth just bearing down on me all the time. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Larko. Go ahead, Jason.
Okay. This is what they sent over to me, and they sent me a little bit of copy, and then they actually sent me the product itself, and they want me to talk about it. They want me to just talk about it, so that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so I'll start with the copy, and I'll move in. Just in time for the middle of April, grab yourself a copy of the Larko Coupon and On book. Packed with deals galore and a cavalcade of discounts, now you can finally afford to enjoy the finer things in life and enjoy them the Larko way. Coupons for goods and services in stores and online, kind of like Groupon, but without subscribing to 500 emails a day. Here's just a small example of some of the great savings. Okay, let's see what we got here. Here's one. 45% off a package of Dentoast. Spread some toothpaste on your morning Dentoast and clean your teeth right there while you eat breakfast. Let's see. 10% off a hockey puck to the face kit for hockey goaltenders who don't want to wear a mask and need to get used to taking 6 ounces of vulcanized rubber at 100 miles per hour right between the eyes. Says your gunpowder not included. A buy one, get one free Ted Danson handshake practice hand with Caress Grip Press technology. For people who want to make sure they know how to shake Ted Danson's hand if they ever meet him. Ooh, this looks cool. Free entry for a drawing to win a 4-pack of hard-to-find VHS tapes, including Flesh Dance, the Flash Dance porn parody.
Flesh Dance, the Flash Dance porn parody.
Flush Dance, the story of Native Americans tricked into doing a rain dance at a toilet factory. A movie called Flush Dunce, the heartbreaking tale of Prince Albert's inability to properly handle a commode, and Fernando's 5-hour lunch, a documentary about a man taking incredibly small bites of an incredibly delicious BLT. I wouldn't mind winning those. Let's see what else. Oh, you can get a free sample of Dragoff Drops. which are apparently used to warm up and increase the volume of your sperm bank deposit. That's nice. Let's see. Here's a coupon for 25% off a subscription to Giggle Shorts, the underwear that talks back. That's good.
right here. What the fuck, dude?
VIP tickets at regular ticket price for the Holy Moly Fried Chicken and Stoli at Boris the Baron's Bolshevik Barbecue event. Oh, that sounds like fun.
Oh. Mm.
Free shipping on a pair of filthy bathroom sandals for when you gotta go, but your boyfriend hasn't cleaned his bathroom in months. Yep.
Wow. I
definitely get that.
That's useful.
Yeah. It is.
Here's a voucher to pre-order a set of tachyon magnetic capture plates to kick mass into the future to occupy the same space as itself and explode and provide free energy. Wow. That's...
Holy shit. Yeah. That's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's great. Let's see here. Here's one for lifetime de-wrinkling services with the purchase of a 96% polyester, 4% spandex, one-piece leisure tux. Cool. I get one of those. Okay, here's another one. 15% off the Larco Holidays Gifts Basket. That's what it says, Holidays Gifts Basket, which is comprised of a bag of Pop Limerocks, a box of Valentone's candies, the only chocolate that's... Only chocolates that sing, an April Pools of Gravy ladle, a jar of Cinco de Mayonnaise, a bottle of Fourth of Juice pie cider, a package of Halloweeners, a bag of my favorite carnivores, all veal Thanksgiving mashed potato substitute, and a copy of Little Richard's menorah-shaped Christmas Tutti Frutti Cake on Rudy Giuliani's Kwanzaa Kanara recipe book. Okay, here's the rest of the copy. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Order the Larco coupon on and on book online. Use our code JBC at checkout, and they'll throw in a coupon for another Larco coupon and on and on book. It's like buy one, get one free, except you pay a small shipping and handling fee. The Larco coupon and on book has savings that total several thousands of dollars and so many amazing offers that you might just go broke trying to get them all. So go check your bank balance and get yourself a Larco coupon on and on book today. Wee!
Fucking A, Larco. Gotta love him.
Gotta love him.
Gotta be impressed by him.
I'm often impressed. Yeah, this book is fat. There's a lot of stuff in here.
Ryan's chomping at the bit. Ryan, do you have something to say, Ryan?
No, I'm just excited about all the money and the interesting products that I've just been introduced to.
It's a great thing. Don't we have great sponsors there, Jason?
We do.
I feel like I'm losing money right now by not having this in my hand.
Here, man. Yeah. Do you want to hear a fucking really good ad?
Yeah.
Larco is cool, but like what I do is I bring in some other sponsors. It's good.
Yeah.
The money isn't great compared to Larco, but it's not bad. I've got an ad. Are you ready for this, Jason? Can you give me an intro for that? No. Jason, I'm going to have you do that one more time, and then... Jason, that's the bong noise.
Oh, whoops.
Your buttons are way off. Here. Okay, so what we're going to do is we have a Crayola ad.
Oh, okay.
I think it's an important product. It's important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is the creativity episode.
Yep.
Crayola is very important when it comes to the creativity of children, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I hate for you to do it a third time, but you need to. And then let's hear the Crayola ad, Jason. God damn it.
Inside every child's mind exists an entire universe of imagination. Studies show that encouraging your children to be creative sets the stage for a successful and enriching life filled with healthy relationships and a strong sense of empathy and moral integrity. With Crayola crayons, your children can spread their artistic wings and soar into the unlimited possibilities of their own thoughts and feelings. Look, here comes my son Timmy. He's been coloring pictures for hours with his Crayola crayons. Hey, Timmy.
Hi, Daddy. Want to see some pictures I colored for you?
Of course, Timmy. Oh, look at this. It's a beautiful field full of flowers, a big tree, and a rainbow in the blue sky. What does this picture mean to you?
I made a flower for every time you made me laugh, and The tree is me when I grow up big and strong like you, and the rainbow is for happiness.
That's great, son. What a creative picture. You see, when a kid uses Crayola crayons to express themselves, they learn how to express their feelings in images. Hey, Timmy, can I see another one?
Yeah, here, look at this one. It's really good.
Yeah, it is. It's really detailed. Wow, did you really do this with crayons? Is that me with a silly spider crawling up my back? I look kind of scared.
Yeah, you're scared, Daddy.
The spider has a face. That's very creative.
That's my face, Daddy.
Oh, Well, let's look at another one, Timmy.
Okay, here's the funniest one. Isn't it funny?
It looks like Tony Danza holding up a severed head. Is that my head, Timmy? Wait, how did you learn about Tony Danza?
See your face, Daddy? You're scared.
Jesus, Timmy. Show me a different picture. That one's kind of scary, okay?
Look at this one, Daddy. It's my favorite.
Timmy, that's just a picture of Satan. That's clearly Satan. It looks like you did it in oil pastels. What the fuck? Oh no, it's me again. Is Satan smelling my face? What's wrong with you, Timmy?
The Prince of Darkness is smelling your fear, Daddy. See how scared you are? The Lord of Hatred sent me to you to draw out your fear so he could drink it in. Fear is his lifeblood, Daddy.
Okay, Timmy. Stop staring at the cat. Get in the car. We need to go see Dr. Steinberg. Anyway, oh, God. Crayola crayons.
You know, Joe, it's a good thing I've got a mute button over here. I had to mute myself. I was laughing so hard I started a coughing fit, and I almost died. And what a way to go. I've just now decided that if I decide to kill myself, what I'm going to do is have you do an ad when I've got emphysema, and that's how I want to go out.
I was staring at Ryan the entire time that ad was being played, and I think he's a little fucked up about it. Okay, let's do. Look, we're way over, man.
Way over.
So I'm gonna do arguments for cancellation. It's real easy this time.
Okay.
It's real easy.
All right. You want the intro?
Give me that. Yeah. Give me that intro. We'll do arguments for cancellation.
That is better.
Welcome. Got to stop doing that. Two. Just Because's 61st episode edition of Arguments for Cancellation. Now, what I try to do is pimp the podcast. I try to pimp it. Pimping it. Aren't you pimping it, Jason?
Oh, I'm pumping pimping it. I pamper that pump and pimp. I pop the pimple on that pimp pumper pample. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, continue. Anyway, so what I'd like to do is my attempts and your attempts too, Jason, at pimping the podcast are just substandard. Mm-hmm. If you hear just a few of them, And I'll tell there's a little bit of a blurb for each podcast. We try to like pimp every podcast as we do it, and it's a tough thing. I think it's just a great way for me to convince you, Jason.
Yeah,
that this should be over. Let's do this. Let's go back to episode. I don't know. We're at 61.
Yeah.
I'm flipping back. I'm on my phone right now. I'm flipping back. I'm gonna go back to Christmas of 2017.
Okay.
Okay. This is how I've tried to pimp the podcast. It's underwhelming. And I'm going to start with that and I'm give you a few examples. And then you're going to tell me, fuck this. And then that's it. We're done.
Okay.
So this is my advertisement for the Christmas episode.
Okay.
Imagine Christmas morning when you were a small child. When you return to the suffocating reality of your life, listen to JBC number 35. It might help. All right, that's
clearly, it sells itself.
Yeah, I mean, that was just wrong. Anyway.
Wait a minute, 35?
Yeah. Shit, I went all the way back to 35.
I was going to say, episode 35 was like Jesus Boxing Club or something. I was in September.
If people get curious about the episodes that we're talking about, maybe they'll listen to it, and maybe they'll really understand why this goddamn podcast should end.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, episode JBC, 35 was the one with the cricket, dude.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here, listen to this. Here's another one. Alert! Just because it's 37 was abandoned mid-show, live. Jason's computer shat the bed in dramatic fashion, the power supply smoking and stinking. Will the episode be restored? Will they have to start over and put out a late episode? Does anyone give a fuck? Stay tuned. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here, let me go to one of some of the more recent ones.
Okay.
And by the way, everything that I give a blurb about, your blurbs are even better. And mine are like three sentences. Yours are a paragraph. I would like to hear some of the Jason shit too, but we can do that on another episode. Yeah. Here we go. So how about this? This is
blank.
No. Just because it ends. No, Just Because It Ends 2017 by presenting their most outstanding vulgarity, obscenity, F-wordery, and redundancy, and occasional comedy of the year. By the way, that post got almost 3,000 likes.
Whoa.
That's weird.
That's and awesome. Then
Ryan told me that that's bullshit and they're almost all just bots. Okay.
Well, Rikishi really liked this show.
Yeah, totally. Now I'm not done yet. Fucking not done yet. Okay. JBC 54 is the Valentine's Day episode, delivered a week late, as if by a terrible husband.
That was good.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not convincing me. You're not convincing me, Joe.
Go ahead.
Keep going. No, usually you do, but this all sounds wonderful. I feel like you're pimping. I want to sleep with that hoe.
Okay, look, this is why this needs to stop.
Okay, go ahead.
Are we creative? I think not.
Okay.
JBC 55 is coming in your face. It's what a podcast sounds like when it happens in the middle of a sorority party.
Nice.
Okay, that's JBC 55. If Ian wants to listen to that, go ahead. JBC 57 is infectious. It didn't wash its hands, and it's sneezing in your fucking face. JBC 58, St. Patty's Show. Green, House of Pain, Shamrock Shakes, and other Irish shit. Okay. Here's our last music episode. JBC podcast number 59 is Sweet Music in Your Rears.
Oh yeah, that was good. That was good.
Thank you, Ryan.
I gotta get him on that. We had to work on some of those, but you know, obviously it's work in progress, and you can see as we get to these more recent.
He's exploding. He's been trying not to talk. I can't stop.
I can't. Like, I've been doing marketing for 20 years, and I can't handle it, guys. But it's been much better. Recently.
JBC podcast episode 60. This is our last one, by the way. JBC podcast episode 60 fools no one on April 1st in honor of the undead Christ. Okay, have I convinced you?
Nope.
I think.
Damn it.
You just failed to fucking convinced me.
All right. Joe, we're going to do another episode next week, and in anticipation of that.
Are we?
That is better.
We are. And in anticipation of that, I just want to say thank you for being my inspiration, Joe. And when I say Joe, I mean Ryan, but he's not always here, so I'm going to go ahead and say Joe. Thank you, Ryan.
I'll be his proxy.
Thank you, Joe and Ryan. Joe Ryan. Raya Joe. Raya Joe. See, that's an accident. Now I can turn that into a... I'm going to ask the guys at Larco if they can come up with something called Raya Joe. I don't know what that would be. Raya Joe. It's a kangaroo riding ranch. You go down to Australia, ride a kangaroo, and then you have sex with it. Or vice versa. Oh, good times. And good night.
Did you say kangaroo or a chimpanzee?
Silence.
Dancing now.
Me too.
Yeah, my chair's creaking. Butt's tweaking, twerking.
I almost cut my toes off with a weed whacker because I was dancing when I was listening to one of our episodes. You gotta be careful with those weed whackers.
Truer words have often been said.
Time, I still just love this song. Right now. Let's come in. Say hi to Jason, babe.
Oh, we're doing the end music? Hi, Jason.
Hello.
How was your Friday?
Well, now that my cousin's wife is here asking how my Freddy is, yeah, I have no idea where I'm going with that.
Well,
pretty much anything you say in that tone of voice will sound creepy, even if it's very innocuous. Like, hey, I really like your apples. What the fuck do you mean by that? I just really like...
How about them apples?
Yeah, exactly. Nailed it. Perfect.
Hey, what do you think of the Crayola commercial?
I laughed my man sack off.
Nice.
Yeah, we're still recording, by the way. Just
the whole sack?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Oh, oh God.
She didn't know that.
Okay, I'll anyway. Go ahead and hit stop now, and
bye!
Bye!
Bye!